Blog Talk Radio. We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can conquer.
We are. are victorious. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. We have to know that in the end, it is yes and amen. Truly, truly, we are victorious. Amen. Glory to God. I want to thank you for tuning in to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders Development Institute, truly where we are blessed, extremely blessed, to be a blessing to you. Thank you for joining in once again. I am Pastor Teresa Dock, excited and delighted to be on air live with the people of God. We want to welcome you. We want to let you know that God has a plan for you and your life. It is not by accident that you're here with us. We have a ministry of activation, a ministry to push people into purpose, to encourage you, to love on you, to build you, to not judge you, but to push you into purpose. So we're going to be going into the Word of God. We're here every Sunday at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to be talking about today, walking and living in freedom, all bondage. Amen. And in order to do that, we must have a teachable spirit. I want you to say to yourself right now, I am teachable. Okay, I can't hear you. Say it out loud. I am teachable because none have arrived. Amen. We're all trying to get there. We're all trying to be what God has called us to be. Amen. Well, truly, I'm excited because I understand that God has a lot that he is going to do in 2022. God has a lot that he's going to do in 2022. Amen. We went through some things. We're going to some things. And everything that God has allowed us to go through, we must know that there's a purpose in it. Amen. There is a purpose in what we go through. It is not in vain. Why don't you say that to yourself? Everything that I went through, it is not in vain. There's a purpose. I don't hear you. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. I want to encourage you today. God wants you to live, he wants you to laugh, and he wants you to serve. Serve others, give to others, love on others, despite of their shortcomings. Amen? Because we all have shortcomings. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. Why don't you just praise him? Why don't you just praise the Lord in spite of? Glory, glory, glory. Well, we're going to go to the Word, and I'm going to just play. I believe in praise and worship. I believe in getting into the presence of the Lord. I believe in lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen. I believe, and I encourage you to believe. I'm going to play just a portion of the song, and as I'm preparing the text, I want you to get ready to turn to, open your Bibles and turn to John 8, verse 30, and we're also going to read verse 30 and 31. We're picking up where we left off on last week. Amen. So get your Bibles out. I pray that you have your Bibles, and I pray that you are prepared to just believe.
They say these chains will never break.
believe no matter what? Do you believe no matter what? No matter what you go through, do you believe? I ask you that question today. We must believe. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to ask Elder if he would be so kind to read the scriptures for us, and I pray that you have the word in front of you, the word of God. I pray that you open your book, the Bible, throughout the week. I pray that you open up the word of God daily, just like you feed that belly. Feed your spirit. Every time you feed your physical body, make this a New Year's resolution. As you feed your body, you're going to feed your spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask Elder if he would be so kind to read our scripture for today for us.
Amen. Amen. We're reading John 8:30-31. And I'm coming to you from the New International Version Bible. Amen. And it reads, even as he spoke, many believed in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answer him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen.
And there's always a blessing on the reading of the word. Amen. Whom the Son set free. Are you free today? It's free indeed. And as Jesus spoke these things, many came and believed in him. Jesus was addressing, who was he talking to? He was addressing the following comment to the Jews. Glory to God. Who had believed him. Do you believe? We say we believe, but you would think that these people, these Jews, they had literally heard this come out of Jesus' mouth. You would think that they would not only believe, that they would go and tell others. You know, when you really believe something, you want to talk about it. When you really believe something, you not only want to talk about it, you want to be about it when you believe it. See, we learn that not only they were slaves to sin. I'm talking about them now. I'm not talking about us. Hallelujah. But being a slave to sin, it takes you away from your faith. I'm going to say that again. When we are a slave to sin, it takes us away from our faith. Because sometimes we will start depending on our own understanding and then begin to deny the power thereof. So to be engulfed in sin, your faith will start diminishing. You know, I'm going to give you an example. And we talked about this on last week. I'm just giving you a slight refreshment of what we talked about. whom the Son set free is free indeed. And sometimes it's possible to have superficial false faith in Christ that actually does not save from sin. Do you believe that? That you can have superficial false faith in Christ? Oh, I believe. But it don't save you from sin. You would think that these people had come to know Christ, and they had come to know him through faith. But as the dialogue, as it continued through this chapter, and we learned that not only were they slaves to sin, and last week I had Elder Reed 34, but they were also, they was trying to kill Jesus. You believe him, but yet you want to kill him. And then in verse 37 and 40, you know, God was not their father. We talked about that, and that's in verse 42. You know, in fact, they was not children of God. They were children of the devil. See, they accused Jesus of having demons. You know the story. We talked about it. And then the scripture went on and talked about that they were liars in verse 55, because they was attempting to kill Jesus, and they was calling him a liar. So John was saying that these Jews believed in Jesus, but they believed in Jesus, but they were not followers of Christ. See, when you follow someone or when you follow Jesus, you keep his commandment. You do what he say do. You believe what he say believe when you are a true follower. And I want you to ask yourself, are you a true follower? Do you truly believe? See, some try to resolve this by saying what verse 30 and 31 was speaking of. Are you a true believer? When you really believe, just say, for instance, you put a bullet in a gun, and when you get ready to shoot it, you believe that the bullet gonna shoot. You believe. When you believe in communion, you believe in the power of that actual communion that you're taking. You believe that it's a cup of blessing. You believe that it's healing for your body. You believe. Do you believe? Do you believe in the power of the resurrection? We're talking about being free from bondage and walking and living in total freedom. What have you said you believe in, but yet it's false faith? I believe the Lord's going to take care of me. I believe he's going to pay my bills. I believe that he's going to sustain me. I believe, but yet I wonder. You know, I believe that all things are possible to them that believe, but yet I wonder. Do you really believe? Now, I wanted to give you a overview of what we talked about on last week, and I want to pick up right there. Those with false faith tend to not really recognize our own slavery to sin. See, we can be held in bondage and don't know it. So, see, after Jesus was telling them this, he said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm trying to ask you a question. Have the truth made you free? Or do you know the truth? See, they was reacting, let's say, defensively, by exerting that they are Abraham's descendant. They was like, hey, we're Abraham's descendant. And so what they were saying is that they was not enslaved any longer. They couldn't be referring to political slavery. They was talking about, because they were Abraham's descendant, they were free. So sometimes we could say that, you know, we could make those affirmations and we could say, you know, I believe and Jesus died on the cross and he set me free because he shed his blood. And we could say all of that. But ask yourself, truly, what do we believe? Okay, let's take our Bibles and let's go to Mark. Let's turn to Mark. Chapter 7. Let's turn to Mark chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 6. And we're going to read verse 6 and 7. Because sometimes we could be blind. What will blind us? Would it be spiritual pride that could blind us? Or maybe being self-righteous. See, sometimes we could be blind to being in bondage. We're talking about being spiritually free. Spiritually free to see any areas of bondage in our life. And having a teachable spirit. See, we have to be teachable. Because if we're not teachable, we're going to stay in the same place and we won't grow. Because some, we may think maybe we got it, maybe we arrived, maybe, you know, maybe, just maybe, we're in this place that we have arrived. I'm going to ask Elder if he would be so kind to read Mark 7, verse 6 through 7. And then read 6 and 7, and then I have one more scripture. And I just want to dissect it. You know, I just want to dissect the scripture. Amen.
Amen, amen. Mark 7, 6 and 7, the NIV version Bible, and it reads, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about the hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are merely human rules. Amen.
And while you're reading, Elder, would you be so kind to turn to Matthew chapter 23 and read 27 and 28? And I'm trying to connect the dots for everyone on the line. See, Jesus knew the heart. Jesus knew their heart. He knew what realm they were coming out of. And he really was saying, woe to you, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside you appear beautiful. We appear beautiful. We appear okay. But inside, they were full of dead men bones and all uncleanness. So we don't want to just look good. We want to be free. We want to be free. We want to be open. We want to be able to be an example of God's righteousness, only through him, though, because we can't do it on our own. It's through him. Amen. So, Elder, if you would read Matthew's for us. 23, verse 27 and 28.
Amen. Again, I'm coming from the NIV version. And it states, Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Amen.
Amen. And you know, as we grow and become more like Christ, it's just certain things we don't do, certain things we don't say. Why? Because we have a heart transformation. I ask myself this question. Is my heart really transformed? You know, as I said last week, you know, the starting point for going to heaven is to recognize that you are a guilty sinner in God's sight. That's where we start. We recognize that. And if you think that you're good enough to go to heaven, or that you can add a few more good deeds, the merit of eternal life, you don't understand that God's absolute holiness and justice is required, that we embrace that for our life. Yes, are we going to miss it sometime? Of course. But we must stay hidden behind the cross. We must, let me say it again. We must stay hidden behind the cross. See, our good deeds, do you believe that our good deeds can get us to heaven? Do you believe that Jesus died? Oh, let me say it like this. Do you believe that Jesus did not need to die on the cross, that we could do enough good deeds and still make it in? I mean, the point that I'm trying to make is we have to examine our hearts so that we can know what God is wanting to do in our lives to change our love walk, our forgiveness, the way we think, you know, what we're feeding our spirit. I mean, I believe that I cannot feed my spirit things of the world and expect it not to be in me. I believe that I must feed myself spiritual food in order to live a spiritual life. I can't come before you on Sunday having indulged my life with earthly things, worldly feeding, false faith, and then come before you on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday and even Saturday and expect God to just show up. You know, it's a process. I must feed myself daily the things of God. I must live this life hidden behind the cross. I must stay in the holies of holies. I must attempt to live there. I must attempt to live in the spirit. And I have to think on these things that's holy and acceptable before the Lord. And then when God showed me my shortcomings, I can't be in denial. I have to examine myself. Lord, show me my shortcomings. Show me what you would have me to do. Show me my teachers. See, we all have teachers. someone, I believe, someone in the earth realm that we must be accountable to. Someone that can come and correct me, and I'm not trying to rebuke them. God's not going to come down and do it himself. He already did it. So now he'll send men, women, maybe boys and girls, and they will bring a profound word, a profound correction to us. So how do I grow? I grow by being humble. I grow by being teachable. How do I grow? I grow by knowing that I have not arrived. How do I get free from bondage? I get free from bondage by first knowing that I am in bondage. By knowing I need a way of escape. By knowing that some reason there's something that's missing. You know, I can't get that breakthrough. What is it? You know, I can't seem to get to that place where God's trying to take me. Why is it? So is it false faith? Is it that I don't hear God? What is it? We're talking about being free from bondage and walking in total freedom. Anytime it may jump on you, bondage, and you know that it's there, shake it off. Grow up. No one should have to tell you it's there. How do I get free? I must be able to see that I need to repent. See, we talked about how the Jews was trusting in their religious belief and their, you know, saying we're descendants of Abraham. And they felt like that was set, and that was true freedom. See, John the Baptist, he had already hit them with this, and when he called them, told them they had to repent. So I say to you today, repent. Not for me. Repent for you. Repent for Christ. Repent for those that are connected to your obedience. See, there are some people that waiting for your repentance so that they can grow up because you're in place. Okay, turn to Matthew's. Turn to Matthew's chapter 3, verse 9. Turn to Matthew's chapter 3, verse 9. Matthew's chapter 3, verse 9. Let us all come into a place where we are walking and repentance. Listen what the Bible says. And the Bible says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So they believe that. And they believe because they was Abraham's seed that they were free. But it's still a requirement that was not only required of Abraham, but required of the seed of Abraham. So what point are you trying to make? Even though we're the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we must repent. We must turn. See, if we think that going to church or going through a religious ritual, I'll say, because you're licensed or you ordained or you giving money or you seeking God or religious activity, if you believe that that's going to get you in, it's false faith. God is asking for us to turn. He wants us to turn from the way that we think, or should I say the way that we are, and stand corrected, have our ears open. If someone come to you and they say to you, you got to stop that, or you need to, and they give you a scripture and they come into you in love, you don't always say, I don't hear God saying that. Be open. Be open for change. Be open for true freedom. Because true freedom, it comes from knowing Christ through not false faith, but genuine faith. Did the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have to repent? Or could they just stand in faith and saying, you know, I'm Abraham's seed? It wasn't enough. Jesus died for me. Yes, he did. But it just take a little bit more for you to repent. We have to repent for our sins and turn from our wicked ways. See, Jesus did what he had to do, and we have to do what we have to do. And then it works together. I can't say, I know I'm going to make it because Jesus died for me. I know I'm going to make it because Jesus shed his blood for me. There's still, he had a requirement. He had to do this. And we have to do this. True freedom comes from knowing Christ through genuine faith, which means we have to continue in his word. We have to continue in his ways. See, and the Bible says that if you continue in my word, he said, then you are truly disciples of mine. What's the mark of genuine faith? It's not just mental or verbal or professing that you believe in Christ. See, the mark of true faith, it is to continue, or should I say, to abide in Jesus' word. Now, how can we abide in his word and we don't read it? You know, we don't live by it. See, it's not the condition for getting saved. It isn't. It's really the evidence that you're truly saved. See, the condition of being saved is believing. Believing that Jesus died. Believing that he didn't stay dead. See, if you only believe, that's the condition that you're saved. But the evidence that you're saved is when you abide. Are you abiding in the word? Are you reading the word? Is the word becoming a movie for you? Is it becoming a lifestyle for you? I ask you this question. Are you abiding in God's word? Do you live there? You know, are you comfortable there? Do you know Christ and the pardon of sin? Do you really enjoy, the amenities that are for your blessings? Do you abide in the word? So you're having a conversation and someone is talking to you. And maybe God speak while they're talking. And so you hear God. You hear God. Now God's speaking. and they're talking. God's talking to you. It doesn't mean that God want to release that word to them as they're talking. God is speaking to you. Why? Because you're abiding in it. Now, does that mean that you release that word to that person just because you heard God? Not all the time. God's speaking to you, for he's giving you knowledge of what they need. And then what do? We let that word soak in us. And then it's not necessarily the time to release it to them, but God is showing you what is needed. So maybe it's the time for us just to listen to that person. Now we get off the phone, we hang up. Now God spoke to us. So now we go into prayer and meditation concerning that person or concerning their situation. And then God will reveal some things to you because we continue to abide. And when the time is right, he'll tell us how to release it to that person because we're abiding. So sometimes we might go ahead of God and begin to release that word to the person, and they reject it, don't receive it, and now they're wounded. So the point that I'm trying to make is when we abide in his word and his word abide in us, God's timing is always right because we'll miss it, being like a novice. You know, oh, I heard God. I'm about to tell you. I'm about to let you know what God said. No. We stay there. We abide in the word, and we ask God when to release it. So the evidence that we are abiding in his word, that word is released at the appropriate time, and it won't be us at all. So the point that I'm trying to make is, when you abide in the word and the word abide in you, God's wisdom comes. Amen. We don't self-destruct. So when God releases a word to you, don't go out and just release it. You wait for God's timing. So you stay in his presence. And then he'll tell you when to release it. And you won't be a novice. You know, what is a novice? Hallelujah. And we all have been there. You know, you taste some banana pudding. Oh, man, this tastes so good. You want some more? So you just eat it and eat it and you self-destruct. What is a novice? Let's look it up. We're going somewhere with this. You know, I remember when I first start studying the word and God's giving revelation. I was so excited to get out there and talk about it. But I only knew in part. I only knew so much. We all just knew in parts, but I only knew just enough to talk a little bit about it. But what is a novice? I want you to ask yourself, what is a novice? When you first taste that banana pudding, when you first taste that peach cobbler, it was so good you start talking about it and you didn't even know what was in it. See, a novice is new to it. A novice jump out there before time. So we got to study so that we can rightfully divide and rightfully tell what's in the word. I'm still talking about being free from bondage. So the only way that we can rightfully divide the word of God, we have to abide. Are you abiding in the word? So in order to abide in the word, you got to have study time. You got to pull away. You have to fast. You must be accountable to someone in the earth realm that can correct you. And don't fight. Stand corrected. That's when you know you're maturing. You know, and I'm going to say this. I have people that come to me and they correct me. And it'd be like, oh, that hurts so bad. But it feels good later. Because they love you enough to correct that false faith. We're talking about being free from bondage. You know, just open your mind and your heart and say, Lord, make me what you want me to be. Let me be able to be corrected. Let me be able to abide in you so that when I'm corrected, that I grow. See, the Jews, they was hiding behind being seed of Abraham. You know, we're going to make it because we're seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Still requirements that they were required to do. See, Christ's word is the same as God's word. Christ's word is everything that he taught. And to sum it up in all that, he is and all that he did for us on the cross. I'm going to say that again. He is all that he did for us on the cross. See, Jesus said that all of the scripture speak of him, speaks of his suffering and the glory to follow. So we have to go through some suffering in order to get to the glory. We have to go through suffering. And all the suffering we go through, all the correction we go through is part of the suffering to get to the glory. You do not have his word if we don't abide. We have to abide. For you do not believe. Let me give you the scripture. And I'm going to ask Elder to read, and then I'm going to get ready to release you from the line. But I want you to say this week, I'm going to abide in his word. I'm just going to get in one of these verses, and I'm just going to abide there. I'm just going to abide there. Elder, if you'd be so kind to read. Let's go to Luke 24. Amen. Let's read Luke 24, and let's read verse 25. And 27. See, when you abide in the word, God will give you revelation. He'll give you, not only will you get a download and an upload, you'll begin to see some things. You'll begin, and it's almost like when you watch a movie, you'll begin to see your face. You'll begin to see it. The unseen begin to manifest, to begin to become the scene. And you'll know for yourself. Let us read Luke 24, verse 25 through 27. Let's see what the word is saying.
Amen. Amen. Luke 24, 25, 27 through 27, NIV version. And it states, he said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Amen.
Jesus was He told the Jews in John 5, you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him who he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that you're in them, you have eternal life. Is these that testify about me? So to continue in Christ's word, it implies that you first start in his word. What am I saying? What is he saying? The starting point for saving faith is that you recognize that you must start in God's word. Got to get the word. And once you get the word, and you know, I have people say, how do I become a preacher? How do I become an evangelist? How do I become a minister? How do you become anything? We have to start in his word. Don't start just reading everything. Just say in one verse if you must. Meditate. Remember. Memorize the scripture so that you can see it. I'm telling you, it's so exciting when the word becomes a movie to you. You know, you can actually see it. You know, some people say, you know, I'm hands-on. I like to actually see it. You can see it. Let's take a scripture to see. Let's see John 5, and then I'm going to release you. We're going to do communion because we have communion every Sunday. I'm going to ask Elder if he will prepare. But let's read John 5 and let's see it. Turn to John 5 and let's see it. John 5 and let's read 30. I'm going to read John 5, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to read 38 and 39. And let's just see it. Amen. I like the King James Version. Let's turn the channel. Let's turn the TV on. Take that remote. Poof, we got the movie. There we go. Here it is. Here it is, everybody. And we're about to start. Dun 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 dun. It's his own song. Here we go. Let me read the King James. This is the New King James Version. But you do not have his word abiding in you. See that? You do not have his word abiding in you. Do you see it? Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. Now I want you to soak in that. Let's soak in that. The word is not abiding in me. Because whom he sent, I don't believe. Stay there. And I hear you saying, oh, the word abide in me because I abide in the word. Are you truly abiding in the word? Or do we take scriptures, or do we take sermons, or do we take items and we read it? We're going to ask God to allow the word to abide in us, that we might not sin against him. I want you to see it, and God wants you to say it, that the word abides in me. Let that word abide there. Because when the word abides in us, guess what happens? We start changing. We turn off the TV. We turn off the computer. We turn off the phone for at least an hour a day. And we spend time reading. We spend time meditating. We spend time memorizing God's word with prayer that we might know Christ better. See, God promised us in Joshua, I believe it's the first chapter, that the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night. I only said an hour, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will be, he'll make your way prosper. And then, hallelujah, you'll have good success. So all I'm asking you to do, to have true freedom, it comes from knowing Christ through genuine faith, which means that we must continue in his word. We have to let the word abide in us. So what I'm asking you to do this week, hallelujah, thank you, Father, that we'll literally turn off the TV, turn off the computer, hang up the phone, and let the word abide in you. Let it abide, that you might not sin against him. Amen. Glory to God. I get excited about the word of God because I understand that I need to get in the word. I need to study. And that's when he's going to do it again. Amen, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. Get your communion, and we're going to repent, and we're going to turn. And we're going to do it once again because God's going to do it again in our life. Every time we take communion, every time that we sit at the table and we sit together and we make a decision that we're going to repent, we're going to turn from our wicked ways, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. Amen. See, this what I have in my hand. It is a cup of blessing. It's the blood of Jesus because I believe by faith that God have already converted it from natural use to spiritual use. And I have a new start. The body was broken that I might be made whole. The blood was shedded that I might be set free. So let us lift up the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us lift up the blood of Jesus and let us fellowship together. Father, we thank you that this is the body and this is the blood of Jesus. It was broken that I might be whole. Let us eat together. The body of our Lord and Savior. Let us drink the blood of Jesus together. This is my blood. Hallelujah. Know by faith that God is setting us free, that we'll have a fresh start and a new beginning. Somebody say a new beginning. Somebody say I'm free. whom the Son sets free is free indeed. As I abide in his word, abide in his word, people of God. Get the word of God and study. Eat it, consume it, and believe that you're set free. Glory to God. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And in closing, I want to say to you, let God do it again in your life. You're free. Walk in freedom. Live in freedom from bondage. Amen. And we all have been set free today. Embrace your freedom. Forget your past. And let's walk in freedom today. Glory to God. I'm going to play this last song. And I want you to receive it in your spirit. Because he's doing it again. God bless you. Thank you for joining. And we'll see you on Wednesday, live at 5. Let the blessings of the Lord make you rich. And rejoice and do something astronomical this week. Abide in his word for 1 hour every day. God bless you. We love you.
We got a brand new one I'm going to share with you tonight. Are you ready? Goes like this.
You make the blind man see. Make the lame man walk again. You cause the dead to rise. And that's why we dance in liberty. Cause you're doing it all again. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're doing it all again. Oh. Oh,
hey, you made the blind man, made the lame man walk again.
You called the dead to rise, and that's why we dance in liberty.
Come on, shout it, you're doing it again.
Come on, say still preach.